Okay.
Thanks, General.
Yes, indeed. Next case, please.
The next case is number 11,954, Destiny LLC, seeking a variance from the height requirement for a structure, section 115-82C of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northeast side of Parsonage Road, Road 270-A, approximately 31 feet southeast of Route 1. The 911 address is 35863 Parsonage Road, Rehoboth Beach. Zoning district is C1. The tax map is District 334, Map 13, Map 13, Parcel 5. Specifically, the applicant is seeking a 4-foot and 10 1/8 inch variance from the maximum height of 42 feet.
Yeah.
We received three letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and three mail returns.
Okay.
Would you like me to read those into the record?
Yes, please.
Okay. The first letter is written by Ann Bailey. She writes, to whom it may concern, as a neighboring business owner on Route 1, please be advised that I do not object to Mr. Keswani's request for a limited height variance. As a commercial real estate broker of long standing, I believe the addition of the hotel will be a positive contribution to the other businesses, restaurants, entertainment, and retail venues in the area. I do not foresee the granting of his request as being a detriment or lessening the value of my business or property. Thank you. The second letter is from Tom Pemberton of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971. And he writes, as an independent businessman in the Rehoboth and Lewis areas, I do not object to Mr. Keswani's request for a limited height variance. I see no negative impact the requested height variance would have on my business operations. I'm very familiar with the proposed site for the hotel. I believe the redevelopment of the existing site will be a tremendous improvement to the neighborhood and the businesses in the immediate area. And the final letter is written by Preston James Russell of, looks like, Finn's Hospitality Group. And he writes, as a neighbor to the proposed hotel site of Harry Keswani, I do not object to Mr. Keswani's request for a limited height variance. Thank you. I do not foresee the granting of his request as being a detriment or lessening the value of my business or property. If the granting of Mr. Keswani's request for variance is essential to the redevelopment of the existing site, the resulting redevelopment will be a great improvement to the neighborhood. It could quite possibly be a complement to my existing business or property.
Okay. Thank you.
Get your name and address for the record.
Mark Davidson, 18072 Davidson Drive, Milton, Delaware.
Okay.
Harry Keswani, 1 Patriots Way, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971.
Thank you.
Bruce Manette, I'm the architect for the project.
And your address?
Is 34673 Villa Circle, Lewis, Delaware.
Thank you.
Dave Heat Wall, 34 John Andrews Drive, Harrison, Delaware.
Okay. And do the four of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. And just when you go up to speak, if you can just identify yourselves for the record, I appreciate it.
Sure. Gotcha.
Got it?
Mm-hmm. Got it. There we go. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. For the record, my name is David Hutt, I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown. This evening I'm representing Destiny LLC and Harry Keswani, who are the owners and the applicant for tonight's variance application. As you just heard, the four individuals who were sworn in, to my right and your far left, is Dave Heatwell, and he is the professional engineer for this project. Sitting next to him is Mr. Keswani himself, and you'll hear from him near the end of the application. To my left and your far right is Mark Davidson. He's the consultant and land use planner for the project. And then sitting next to him, sort of behind me, is Bruce Manette. He's the architect with the project. And all the professionals that are here this evening are all with the Pannoni Group. At the very outset, as you know, I handed out an exhibit notebook that was passed down to you. And if you look at the very initial pages of that notebook, you will see the professional resume and qualifications of each of the individuals who will be testifying tonight on behalf of the application. In addition, the first tab in the exhibit notebook is simply the variance application itself. The project that is the subject of tonight's variance application is located on Parsonage Road. Frankly, you probably are more familiar with it because it is located just behind the strip mall on Route 1 that has the Finns that is located on Route 1. It's also located adjacent to the Rehoboth Diner and also near several multifamily dwellings and communities, as you can see on the ortho photo that is on the screens in front of you. That same ortho photo appears in your exhibit notebook at tab 4. If you look on the photograph there, that's either on the screen or in your exhibit notebooks in front of you, you will see that to the right of it is a multifamily project known as the Beach Haven Condominium. Behind that is the Seabright Condominium. If you move a little bit north on the project, you'll see Creekwood, which again is multifamily dwellings. And to the, if you were to move closer to Route 1 or downward on the picture, right next to the property, which is the red highlighted area, is the Rehoboth Diner immediately to the left. And to the left of that is a commercial building which used to house Shell and Echelon, and now I believe houses Morgan Stanley at that location. To the right of the property and across Parsonage Road is the strip mall that I was just referring to. And at the far left or upper end, if you're looking at the picture, is the Finns Ale House on Route 1. Tonight's application is for a 4'10" and 1/8" height variance from the 42-foot height requirement that is found in section 115-82C of the Sussex County Code. The property consists of 1.3 acres and is zoned C1, as is most of the surrounding property that you see there. That's, as you know, that's a very busy commercial corridor along Route 1. You have the outlets are not too far away. You have several hotels, restaurants, strip malls. Across the street, a little bit south, is shopping centers that include grocery stores and other retail stores and restaurants. On the screen, as you can see from the ortho overlay, the property is uniquely shaped. The property is roughly a triangle, although I note that it has more than three sides, so my high school geometry teacher would tell me that it couldn't possibly be a triangle, but that's the closest shape that we have on the screen, is that it is a triangle. The widest point of that triangle is, of course, located on Parsonage Road. It's the frontage for the property. It's approximately 173 feet across the front on Parsonage Road, and from that point it goes back all the way to a point. Because of that triangular shape that you see, the rear portion of the property is not usable with the setbacks. Even though it doesn't have a rear yard per se, it has has a front and two side yards. The setbacks and how narrow it gets by the time you get to the point of the triangle that is the farthest east, the property is unusable. Mr. Keswani purchased the property in 2011. When he purchased it, and actually today, it is improved by the airport motel, which consists of 15 rooms, and there's also a single-family dwelling on the property. If you look in tab 4, you'll see the orthophoto from 2012 that you see here, and there is also sort of an interesting history course through, if you look at the passage of time, and when you get past the initial photographs that show the service level from the state planning use map, you'll get back to the 2007 orthophoto. And then as you turn back, you'll see the 2002 orthophoto. And if you go back to 1997, you'll see that there's still a lot of undeveloped area in this along Parsonage Road. And then obviously as you move back in time, those orthophotos will take you all the way back to when it was largely farmland, all the way back to 1937. But I note those pictures because they show the progression. Again, when you began in 1937, you could see that it was very agriculturally used. And then as you slowly come forward until the late 90s and early 2000s, you see rapid development and expansion along there. And again, significantly, this is all zone C1. The state strategies map has this as level 2. And in addition, what you have in the surrounding residentially used properties are multifamily structures. If you look at the site plans that are located in tab 2 in your exhibit notebook, if you were to look at the second page, you'll see that when the site was surveyed, the outline of the structures on the neighboring and adjacent properties was also placed there. And you can see, for instance, that in the Beach Haven community, which is slightly to the south, there is those multifamily structures are all three-story dwellings. If you look to the north of the property, which is Creekwood, again, directly adjacent to this property, is again a three-story buildings. So the nature of this area is not low cottage, single-family usage. It is multifamily, multi-story type structures. As most of you will recall, in this past October 2016, you saw an earlier version of this project, and the project came before you at that time seeking a variance for the number of parking places that would be associated with this hotel. For your ease of reference, at tab 5, a copy of your decision from October, which was the written decision, was actually promulgated in December of 2012. That has been included at tab 5, reducing the parking requirements from 1.5 to approximately 1.25 parking places per hotel room. The plan for the site is to demolish the existing hotel-motel structure as well as the single-family dwelling and to install a 60-room Days Inn at the site. Again, that's the same number of rooms that for the application that was presented to you in October. As you heard at the prior hearing, the industry standard for a hotel along the Route 1 commercial corridor is actually 80 rooms to be the minimum, recognizing the limitations placed on the site due to its irregular shape and size, as well as other requirements. The applicant sought a reduction in the number of rooms and the absolute minimum number of rooms at which the site has any economic viability is 60 rooms. Other steps that were taken to try to keep the project economically viable with the number of rooms was that, unlike many hotels, there's not going to be a restaurant associated with it. There's not going to be a conference room or center or a meeting place. This is strictly going to be 60 hotel rooms. In October, when the application was presented, the two individuals who were before you at that time were Mr. Kiswani as well as Mr. Davidson. When Mr. Davidson was presenting, one of the board members asked a question regarding the height of the structure. And at that time, the answer that Mr. Davidson gave was that the property and the project met all of the required setbacks and the height requirement found in the Sussex County Zone Code. Since that time, more work has been undertaken by the professionals that are right behind me, the engineers, the architects, and it has been determined that the construction of the site work, as well as the construction of the building itself, does require a height variance of 4 feet, 10 and 1/8 inches. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Davidson if he could come up and explain to you exactly why the height variance is needed, and also to cover what changed from the October board meeting that you had, what changes were necessary for the site plan as well as the building.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates. Is it possible to get my PDFs up here?
There's a screen, you can blow it up if you like on the screen, the little TV symbol next to the page numbers at the top.
In tab 3 of the booklet that was handed out, we provided this this cross-section we provided with the application that was submitted. Back in October when I presented before you the parking variance, I did state that at that time we were we would not require anything with the height. We could stay within the 42 feet with the four stories. And by doing that, our proposal at that time was we were going to take a portion of the, we were taking this building here. There's an open area that goes underneath the building here. And I just circled it here on the screen to show you. The minimum requirement for fire apparatus is to be able to go under the building to serve the back of the building is 13 feet 6 inches. And we've provided in tab 3 the fire code, and then we are referencing on this cross-section and another cross-section under tab 3 some of the fire code requirements. Also, under the Sussex County Ordinance, under chapter 115-4, I believe, is the minimum requirement to be able to access loading facilities is 14 feet. So meeting those requirements, we had planned to recess this building down in order to meet that 40-foot height requirement. And at that time, back in October, that was the plan. All our preliminary engineering at the time was to take this building and essentially, and I'm just going to kind of draw here, as we came off the entrance here, we were going to come down under the building like this and then come back up where the building was going to be sitting like this so that you would just flow right underneath and come right back up again. And again, that was what we had engineered at that time, and that's what I presented before you. Since that time, we've had a lot of, we've done our geotechnical engineering, a lot of soils work, and Mr. Heatwall here with Pannoni in my office here has done a lot of the stormwater management design. We found that the stormwater is going to be contained on site. It's all going to be infiltrated underground, and they're going to be infiltrated under in chambers under the parking lot. So there's not going to be any off-site drainage of the stormwater. With that building being recessed like that and with us being able to handle the entire stormwater, both quality and quantity, under the parking lot, we felt the need that we needed to raise that building up in order to be able to handle that type of the amount of stormwater that we have to design for. And again, we have to design when we're doing that, and Mr. Heatwall will come up here and testify that we have to handle for the 100-year storm event. So in order to do that, and again, through the testing between October to the date that we filed for this application, a lot of engineering, a lot of structural engineering, the architects are here. We've worked out all the architectural plans, trying to get that building, and with the 60 rooms, that building had to come back up. And again, it was the 4 foot, 10 and 1/8 inch more than the height that we needed. With that, as we brought that building back up and maintaining that 14-foot separation, as everybody knows in hotels, every floor is level across as you go, second floor, third floor. If you look on that cross section, we are meeting the minimum height requirement for it, which is 8 feet 1 inch. The ideal is 9 feet, but we've separated, you'll see that there's what they call the bulkheads between each floor. That's going to run the air conditioning, the ductwork, the piping. That's the minimum, which is 1 foot 9 inches. So we're at 8 feet 1 inch, which is the bare minimum for a hotel. I mean, for just the hallway, 9 feet is ideal. 8 foot 1 inch is what we were able to work out. So this is the minimum that we can do. And again, it was all because of the site engineering. It was the amount of engineering that we have done since October to try to get this building to work on this. Again, Mr. Hutt showed you how irregular this site is. On the site plan, you can see how irregular. It's not a perfectly rectangle building like most hotels are mostly rectangle or L-shaped. Mm-hmm. This is pretty odd. The lot has more than three sides. Well, this building has more than four sides. So it's kind of an irregular shaped building, and we've done everything we can to make this building, these 60 rooms, work engineering-wise to meet and to meet life safety codes. for the, not only for the building code, but as well as the fire code. And that's all in the booklet here.
What do you do, excuse me, before you leave, county sewer comes underground also through there. Is this what you had to design around and through county sewer?
The county sewer connections are out front because they're servicing the existing motel that's there right now. So we're able to just take advantage of that and be able to connect into those, into the sewer.
Okay. So in other words, this is your water,
stormwater.
This is the stormwater.
Stormwater, I mean.
The stormwater is actually in, Mr. Heatwall can come up here and talk about
it. Yeah, where is that?
I'll let Mr. Heatwall come up and answer that question.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dave Heatwall, for the record. I'm a professional engineer. In tab two, we have the proposed site. It's the third page there. And I'm happy to answer any questions related to stormwater that you might have.
And actually, if you look at tab two, you'll see that the location of the stormwater infiltration basin is shown.
Okay, I see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when the initial concept for this project, we were going to have a small pond, a small underground infiltration facility, and then a discharge. When we took a final look at the project, there was no discharge. And with no discharge, we can't really sink the building because there's no safety valve. So during the big rain events that we'll get, there's a high probability that that pool will flood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as Mr. Davidson asked you a moment ago, when you're designing a stormwater, Mr. Heatwell, what events are you designing for? What does Sussex Conservation District require you to design?
We have to contain the 100-year storm on site. There's no outlet for it, so we've got to contain it because it just goes to the adjacent properties and to Deldock. And this being a redevelopment project, the stormwater regulations are typically, they are less for redevelopment than for new development. So we have 0.91 acres of impervious or pavement on the site now. We're only going to 1 acre, so we're not adding a lot, but we have been forced to, you know, spend a lot of money on this infiltration facility for the project.
And is underground storage of water generally thought of as the most expensive type of stormwater management?
Yes.
And the original plan, as I understand it, was for the stormwater management to be handled through a pond that would be above ground, some underground storage, and then some would be at a discharge point?
That is correct.
And since the soils work has been completed, you have found that there is no discharge point?
That is correct.
And there's not going to be a location for above ground storage of water or a pond?
That is correct.
And so the underground storage now is what is shown on the, what's on display right now. That is what's going to be required in order to accommodate the 100-year storm?
Yes.
So that water, after it comes and you have a say, how much does that hold, the underground storage?
It holds the 100-year storm event. So basically, I can't do the math in my head, but take about 8.2 inches of water on 1 acre, and that goes into, that's the volume of water we're going to need to hold in that storage event.
In that tank, but then later, does it seep through the ground?
Yes.
It seeps through in time.
It's an infiltration. So we did infiltration testing to establish a rate, and then we are required, the regulations require you to cut that in half.
So what do you have, pipes in it that you drill down into the ground so it seeps itself that way down?
Yeah,
or
so
just gradually?
They're big chambers. So uh-huh. Big arched chambers, and they are about 6 feet tall. So they're going to be pretty far down. They go on a stone bed, and then there's stone over top, and then the pavement over top of that.
Okay.
So that doesn't affect the strip mall or the diner, right? In that area, any of
they will benefit from this project going in from a stormwater perspective.
And from a stormwater perspective.
And why is that? What changes on the project or about the site that makes the site better for the adjacent property owners?
It's going to reduce the amount of runoff directed to those sites from the current site.
Okay.
Will their site run into that too?
The Rehoboth Diner has stormwater management plan, but they did not account for our parcel, which a portion of it drains to that pond, which is not sized for the parcel. So we could not, the Conservation District wouldn't let us discharge to that.
Okay.
So
basically because you're currently developed with impervious surface, and that now that you're redeveloping it, the idea is now you can try to contain what's on yours, but now, as it is, it runs off potentially onto someone else.
Exactly.
Right.
And you're taking that away.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to maybe to answer one of the other questions, to the naked eye, will any of this be visible? Will it just be a parking lot that people are parking in front of?
Yeah, it's just a parking lot. There'll be some manholes for maintenance.
So there is a way of check on that?
Yes. Yeah.
So this pretty much made your decision. Well, you had to make that decision based on the raising the home up, the hotel up to that level. What is it, ground level? Looks like it's ground level, right?
The hotel itself?
Yeah.
Yes, the finished floor of the proposed hotel is actually about 4 inches less than the existing building out there, so.
Okay.
Florida.
Yeah.
That much. Okay.
And you heard Mr. Davidson testify regarding the minimum requirements for floors in buildings. And were those part of your considerations as you were undertaking the engineering for this project?
Yes.
And did you set those floors at the minimum height that would allow for a hotel or a room under Sussex County's code?
Yes.
Is that the 8 feet?
Yeah, per code, yeah, 8 feet.
And in addition, the first floor had to be set at 14 feet, and that is for the fire lane under the fire code, as well as the loading requirements of Sussex County's code?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you this before you sit down, so maybe you won't have to get up again. Yeah. To the extent that myself or Mr. Davidson stated any civil engineering principles, did we state them correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
One other question. Is that far enough back with the fire trucks or heavy vehicles go over that too?
It's far enough back. H2O rated, so it'll handle the heavy vehicles.
Heavy vehicles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
No other questions?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing any more for the question, Mr. Mills?
No questions.
And again, Mr. Johnson?
No.
Okay, Mr. Workman, any further?
No.
Okay. Mr. Trepp, any further?
I think they've answered my questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? One, two, three, four. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11,954. They've reached the criteria for a variance by verbally stating, and also hard copy here. And the case has been presented very clearly when I was reading going over the documentation. It was a little confusing. But they've cleared that up now very nicely. Uniqueness of the property, they've stated the reason, the uniqueness of the property, it's shaped like, as Mr. Hutt said, like a triangle, and it cannot otherwise be developed. Well, it's an irregular shaped piece of property, and it's not created by the applicant because of the irregular size and narrow shape of the applicant's request to get a variance based on the size will not alter the central character of the neighborhood because there are hotels at that area, diners and etc., mixed commercial. And the minimum variance, if authorized, will not affect the neighborhood, and it's a minimum variance that's being requested. Also, I'd like to add that the presenting of the 60 rooms is the basic portion of it, and they're asking that they increase the height only based on the reason that the 4 foot 10 1/8 inches, because they had to raise it up because of the storm water situation, where they had to get it up to, and also when they have deliveries, they have to have that 14 foot clearance, which pushes the height up further than the 42 feet, so the increase to allow the fire truck apparatus to access the rear of the building if there's ever a fire or any need for that. So based on those things that I just presented, I make a motion that we approve case number 11,954.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards, and a second by Mr. Workman, that we approve case number 11,954. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons had been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,954 is approved.